Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
If that wasn't enough, the three little pigs were also turned down because it only had four characters. Thankfully, we have the Disney company today, because Walt chose not to listen to any of his critics and press forwards for his dreams. See, God has given many people in here dreams and visions. God has given you many people. He's showed you stuff in prayer. He's showed you stuff. People have confirmed stuff over your life. It might be to step into a certain ministry. It might be to start a certain business. It might be to go to a certain place. And I believe this morning that we need to keep going no matter what. Because the enemy wants us to give up before the blessing. See, the enemy wants to give up. He wants us to give up just before God is ready to bless us. Myself, being a graduate of the men's home, in the men's home, they would always say, you know what, your blessing's round the corner. And many a times when I was in the men's home, I would see a man or I would see someone leave on the Monday. Then on the Tuesday, you would get a phone call, is my dad there? It's my son there. I've never spoken to them for years. Then you have to tell them, I'm sorry, but they've left. They've left just before the blessing. How many people in here have just left just before the blessing? That you know that God's want to provide for you. You know that God's challenging you to step up. You know that God's asking more of you. You know that God desires more. But just when you're ready to step out, something always pulls you back. Does that again, would you agree with that this morning? See, I want us to remember, who remembers those little bands that Christians would wear? WWJD. What would Jesus do? I remember being in the home, and every time I asked a question, the staff would go, ah. And that's how I got to know, what would Jesus do? I know what I wanted to do. Every time he put it in my face. Because I'd say, bro, what's next? What would Jesus do? But who also remembers the other one? Push. Pray until something happens. How many times do we pray and we stop before it happens? We start praying for something. God speaks to us. God shows us stuff. And people confirm stuff in our life. But we start praying for it. But we get discouraged because the answer has not came in our time frame. But see, God is saying this morning that we need to keep going and keep believing and keep trusting God, that if He said He will do it, then God will do it. See, we need to understand that the prayer is the appointed mean for us to obtain for what we need from God. We have to go to the connection. We have to go to the source. How else are we going to get equipped? How else are we going to get empowered? How else is He going to speak to us? But we have our part to play. See, one thing prayer is not, it is not a panic button summoning immediate help. And I was thinking about that, and I had the privilege of driving the men's home van on Wednesday morning down to London, because the men's home and the women's home were going to a crusade in London. And exactly, Pastor Ron confirmed it to me today, prayer works. I'd only ever drove the van once before in my life. So I was confident that if God was for me, who could be against me? But I had all these people in the back, and we were driving along, and it's like, we need a toilet stop. Okay, next toilet stop's 10 mile. Be still. Know that He's God. Failing that, there's a plastic bottle. But anyway, I never said that. So what happened was, they done the first toilet break, and everything was great. Everybody was buzzing. Everybody was happy. They got their little snacks, their drinks, their munchies. They relieved themselves. They needed the toilet. Then what happens, and we're driving along again, and they start saying, I really need the toilet. I really need the toilet. And I'm saying, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do right now. I don't see no signs for service stations. We've just pulled into the main bit of London. I'm not going to be able to stop. And all I could hear was people interceding. I've never heard the women's home praying tongues so loud in my life. They were driving behind me, and all you heard is shaka-ka-ka-rabu, shaka-ta-ka-ta-ta-ta. And I'm like, wow. But see, we have to be like that no matter what. We have to be like that no matter what. And God answered their prayers, because we came to a service day, a little garage. And I've never saw 12 people get out so fast to queue up for a one toilet. They were standing like that. They were giving it like that. And they were attack, 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 attack. And people were just looking at them going, like, they must be off their nuts. But how many know there was no accidents? We didn't have to go to no clothes shop. And everybody got there safely in the name of Jesus. See, but prayer is a communication line that maintains our roles with Jesus as our only source of help. See, God is the ultimate source and he has our best interests at hand. That's why we need to have contact daily. That's why it's a relationship. Because when your relationship, when you're contacting with Jesus daily, your relationship with the Lord is fresh and exciting. When you're in there in the morning and you're in that place of prayer and God's speaking to you and he's showing you stuff and you're feeling, you're coming out and you're feeling like a champion. You're feeling like a winner. How many people have come out the prayer closet like that? You've come out and you could take the world for Jesus, amen? That you've just finished your prayer. It's like you're tooled up in the spirit. You're ready for whatever comes. See, that's what it's like. It's fresh and it's exciting when you connect with God. He gives you the stuff that you need for the day. And in the opening portion of scripture that I started with, verse 7 tells us what's required of us. Ask, seek, and knock. But verse 8 tells us God's promise when we take our part. Ask, receive, seek, find, knock, and door opened. See, our response is always important to God. He doesn't want to raise spoiled kids. I've got four young children and I could only imagine if I gave them everything they asked for. It would be chaos in my house. Every time they asked for something, if I just gave them it and just gave them it, they'd end up spoiled kids. And that's like as Christians, God doesn't want to raise spoiled kids. We've got our part to play. We have to enter his courts with thanksgiving in our heart. We need to step out. We need to step in to everything that God has for us. There is people here today, and I believe that you're at a crossroads of what's next. Not sure where God's leading you. Being discouraged because of unanswered prayer. Yet people all around you are getting prayers answered. You've just come out a big storm and you're like that, what's next? You've just come out a big trial and you're like that, what's next? You've just come through a battle and you're like, right, what's next? You're ready because, you know what, because God is for you and you're like, right, what's next, God? And I believe today that God is going to start to show people what the next stage of your walk is, what the next part of your journey is. But it takes us playing our part of the asking and seeking and the knocking. Because if we are faithful with our bit, then he is faithful with his bit. See, one thing we need to understand, your position in the kingdom comes from your position in your private life. I'll say that again. Your position in the kingdom comes from the position in your private life. See, God wants to position you on a Sunday. When God positions you on a Sunday, but sometimes we allow the enemy to position us the other 6 days. We get caught up with Facebook. We get caught up with all that stuff. We get distracted. I'm preaching to myself. I'm ready to just surrender right now. I've done it. I've opened up my iPad or I've opened up my phone and I've started looking at not just my profile, but everybody else's profile. Or is it only me that does that? Wave your hands, because God sees everything. Amen. Amen. God sees everything. We don't just look at our profile. We get distracted looking at everybody else's. And what happens before you know it, the time that we allocated for God is finished. Then we have to go about our day. We have to go about our things. But God wants to position us not just on a Sunday, but also on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday. He wants to position us because he has a plan for our life. He wants to position you in your workplace. He wants to position you at college. He wants to position you with your family. He wants to position you in your marriage. He wants to position you in your university. Wherever it is you are, he wants to position you because he has such a great plan for you. Only if you could see the plans that he has for you. They're big plans. They're amazing plans. But we have our part to play to see those plans come to pass. See, but sometimes we can stop pressing into the Lord. And sometimes we can just settle. But one thing I love about Victory Outreach Manchester, you cannot settle in Victory Outreach Manchester. You maybe come here week one. You maybe come here week two, week three, whatever. You cannot settle here because this is a transformational church where God takes a nobody and turns them into a somebody and uses the foolish things of this world and turns their life around, and He gives them degrees. He gives them businesses. He gives them callings. He gives them husbands and wives and children. See, God starts to bless. See, God's plan is to bless us. But God's delay is never God's denial. God's delay is never God's denial. See, sometimes we think God's denial, God's delay means it was not meant to be. You know how long I prayed for a wife? A couple of years. And God brought my amazing wife in my life. 2 years saved. She walked in the room. Hallelujah. It's like everything stopped. The music stopped. Her eyes saw my eyes. It didn't work like that. My eyes saw her eyes, but she never looked at me, because how many know that God showed me first? Amen. But see, when God showed me, I had a choice. See, when God shows you something, you have a choice. You can either keep going and keep believing, or you can just settle for where you're at. See, God showed me that was going to be my wife, but God never showed my wife I was going to be her husband. So I took it to God. And God kept confirming it. So I kept walking in it. And I kept speaking it. And I kept pestering her about it. And I kept texting her about it. And I kept talking to her about it. Until one day, hallelujah, the penny dropped. The Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, "That's your man." See, God's delay is not God's denial. See, you might be praying for stuff right now, and you might be believing for stuff right now. Even when I don't feel it, He is working. Even when I don't see it, come on, somebody, He is working. See, He's already working at the back. He's already working at the back. That's all we need to know. So this morning, I want us to look at a couple of things. And the first one is ask. Ask and it will be given. To ask means we need help. Oh, my wife will tell me when I'm driving, ask for help. I'll not ask. I'll keep driving an extra 20 minutes thinking I've got it all together and I know it. Is there anybody else like that in this place? Come on now, shame the devil. See, to ask shows a dependency. See, the woman with the issue of blood in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 25 to 29, she had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she had tried many different methods. She had tried spending all her money. She had tried doing this, going here, going there, and going that. But the minute Jesus came into the scene, she was completely set free. See, sometimes we find ourselves in the wrong place or the wrong position because we have done it instead of God. We find ourselves over here when all the time God wants us over here. And we wonder why we ain't got no peace over here when God is trying to get our attention to get us over here. We wonder why we're struggling over here when all the time God wants us to go over here. We wonder why we're finding it difficult and we're finding it hard and there's no joy and it's a burden and it's uncomfortable. But the minute you step over here, the burden becomes a blessing. It becomes joy when you're in the right place at the right time where the peace of God passes all understanding and you know you're on the right place. It's like Pastor Paul always uses illustration. You can't put the shower on and stand in the kitchen and expect to get a shower. You have to go in the shower. You have to go where the presence of God is. You have to be where the presence of God is. You have to go where He's leading you. You have to go where He's directing you. And sometimes He will direct you to places that you don't want to go to. But sometimes you've got to go to the places that you don't want to go to. So He'll get the glory for what He's doing in your life. See, sometimes God will position you over here. And He might position you in an usher, or He might position you in a hospitality. But I'm called to be a worship leader. I'm called to preach on a Sunday. I'm called to do this. I'm called to do that. But you think all of a sudden, you know what, that God's just going to put put you right up there. There's a process that you have to go through. There's a process as Christians that we need to go through. We need to be asking God the right stuff. We need to be asking the right questions. Are you asking the right questions in your prayer time? Are you asking questions that are going to benefit you and going to benefit the kingdom? Are you asking questions that are going to bring growth in your life? Are you asking questions that when God answers it, it's going to change you? See, we have to be asking the right question. I love when it talks about it in 1 Kings 3, verse 5. It says, the night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, what do you want? Ask and I will give it to you. Imagine you got that in prayer. Imagine you're in your prayer closet. Then all of a sudden the voice of the Lord, ask for anything and I will give you it. What would your response be? What would your answer be? A new Porsche? A wife? A husband? Children? A business? God to raise you up? A partner? What would be your answer? See, Solomon gave the right answer. Because there's a wrong answer and a right answer. Because God ain't going to give you something that you're not ready for. God will only give you stuff that you're ready for the season that he's placed you in. He's not going to give you something in this season what's designed for the next season. Because if you get it this season, you're going to smash and crash in this season, and it'll take you longer to get to the next season, because in the next season, there's someone waiting to hear the good news from you. See, so we need to understand that where God positions us, and what Solomon said was so key, he said, give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern the great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. See, we need to be asking for wisdom in prayer. We need to be asking for wisdom for what's the next step? What's the next door you want me to walk through? Because there's many doors here, the doors of distraction, and there's many doors. No, every door is a door of destiny. So we have to be asking for the wisdom. What door do you want me to walk through next? What door do you want me to enter next? See, that's why our Heavenly Father is like. He wants to give us what we need, but not what we want. He'll never give us what we want. He'll give us what we need. And if you ain't got it right now, you don't need it right now. When I think of King David, the little shepherd boy overlooked by man but chosen by God, how God positioned him many times. David overcame the lion and the bear, so that when the giant came, David said, yes, no problems. I can do this because God's already given me the victory before. God's already given me the victory before in many different areas. See, you may have been asking the Lord and he's answered you, but you feel intimidated by the answer he's given you. You feel that you cannot step up to what he's asking you to do. You feel discouraged. You maybe feel like intimidated or the size of the mission or the position or the promotion that the Lord wants to give you. But as long as your dependence is on God, you can keep growing and keep going and keep building. It doesn't matter. See, the giant became David's. It becomes our food. See, no matter what comes our way, if God's positions you, then God will give you the victory there. It doesn't matter the size of the task. What matters is the person inside you. As long as he's positioned you, then you will get the victory. And the second thing I want to look at is seek. Seek and you will find. To seek comes from a Greek word, zetro. That means to look for, to try, to obtain, desire, to possess, and to strive for. See, God wants to download his heart to us. He wants us to pursue him in prayer. We need to be a person that never settles or gets comfortable. We need to be seeking after God's will for our life. We need to position ourselves to be used by God. See, when we give God permission to show us stuff in our life, we need to expect what he shows us, that he'll give us the grace to deal with it. See, when you ask God to show you certain things and certain issues in your life, he'll show you them. He'll point them out to you. But he'll also give you the grace and help you through them. Because we all come to church with some sort of baggage. We all come to church where we've maybe been let down before, or we've maybe been hurt or whatever. And we come to church and we come to Jesus and we find it hard to engage. We find it hard to connect. But God wants to remove certain things so he can take you to the next season of your life. And it's the same in ministry, that God may have revealed your calling, but it's still your responsibility to position yourself where God positions you. See, he's not a bully. God's not a bully. He won't force you to do something. He will speak to you and he'll challenge you and he'll ask you and he'll bring people around about you. And all of a sudden, there's an old saying, if someone calls you a donkey, just chase them away. But if five people call you a donkey, buy a saddle. It's so true. Because God will always bring confirmation. He'll always bring confirmation because sometimes we don't get it the first time. How many times have you missed it the first time? And you've missed it the second time? And you've missed it the third time? But thank God for his grace that he never gives up. We give up, but he never ever gives up on us. See, like the song, like I said earlier, even though we don't see it, he's working. And that's what we need to know this morning. And it's the same, whatever God has called you, you need to be faithful in that. You need to be faithful where he's placed you. Because it might just be in that place where he removes that stuff, that pride, that anger, that stuff from your life. It might be in that season that he wants to do that thing. He wants to remove that certain thing from your life. See, when you seek after the things of God, we start to see maybe we are carrying fear or past regrets or hurts or disappointment. But the good thing about following Jesus, he gives you identity, he gives you worth, and he gives you value. Because he loves you and he wants you to be able to love him and love yourself and to love others. Because sometimes it's hard to love ourselves. Sometimes it's hard to love ourselves because of our backgrounds. Sometimes it's hard to love ourselves because what we've went through, because of the shame and because of the guilt and because of the pressure and because of certain things in our life. But the Bible's clear when it says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. We are free by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. We need to walk as free men and as free women. But we have to get to that place where we keep going, where we keep seeking God, where we never give up even when we don't get the answer that we're looking for, but that we keep going, that we keep pressing in, that we keep going forward. In Genesis chapter 32, reading from verse 24, it says, this left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me. I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told, "for now on you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won." See, Jacob had been struggling in his life with fear, rejection. Even from the moment of his birth, he struggled with his brother Esau. But one thing, he seeked and he never gave up till God blessed him. And there might be people in here that you've gave up, and today God wants to bless you. That you have taken your hand off the plow, and God wants to bless you. The youth stopped seeking after him and he wants to bless you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to show you some stuff. But you have to get back in there. You have to get back in the race. You have to get back in the track. You have to get back to that place where no matter what, whatever it takes. When I was in the men's home, there was a sign. When I came through the men's home in London, there was a sign that used to be above the door. And it said, "Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes." And many a times I got to that door and I wanted to leave and I wanted to quit. But something inside me always used to say, "Whatever it takes, Kevin, don't give up, don't stop, don't throw in the towel." And that's like many of us. We need to get that plaque in our life where it says, you know what, whatever it takes, whatever the enemy throws at me, I'm just going to throw it back at him. Whatever the enemy tries to throw my way, I'm going to take it and I'm going to kick it right back to him because he's under my feet. I am a winner. I'm more than a conqueror, and I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And see, the last thing that it says is knock. Knock and the door will be open. Christianity is not trapdoor runaway. Growing up, did anyone ever play Chap Door Runaway? You maybe have a different name for it where you came from. But when I was young, we stayed in an estate. We used to get a bit of Fred and Sellotape, and we'd hide in the cars, and we'd go and the people that you didn't like, you liked to wind up because they'd always come out and shout and make a fool of themselves. That's true. No, I've always been holy, have we? You know what I mean? So you'd go and stick it there, and you'd stand behind the cap, and you'd go, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch, and you'd see them coming out going like that, slamming the door, and you're back, and you could see them through their blinds, sitting back down. You'd count to 10, and you'd go, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And you'd keep doing that until they realised, then they'd come chasing you. Then you'd get a chase. But see, Christianity is not like that. It's not chap door runaway. We need to keep going until God opens that door. We need to keep going until God opens that door that He's promised for us to open. We need to be persistent. Persistent, continuing as with every task, especially in spite of obstacles. Sister Vicky said something the other day there that really, really stuck with me. And it was through one of the, I think it was the staff WhatsApp group, or it may have been one of the WhatsApp groups. And she had just left to go on family holiday. Her and Pastor Paul and the kids had left on the Monday morning, early doors, to go to Portugal. How's Portugal their way to? Portugal. So they're away, the next minute, Sister Vicky's on the apps. And she said something. And she should have been chilling by the pool. She should have been chilling with her family. But there was a task that she had started that she was determined to finish. And she said these words, and these words stuck in my spirit. And she said it like this: some things you can't let go till you see it through. Some things in your life you cannot let go until you see it through. You cannot let go until you see it through. You might be praying for your family member. You might be praying for your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad. You might be praying for your neighbor. You might be praying for certain people and you ain't saw it yet. But that doesn't mean you stop praying. You keep praying and you keep praying and you keep being persistent and you keep being persistent until you see that person saved, spirit-filled, baptized, devil stomping at church with Jesus on their mind. And because of Sister Vicky's persistence, we see the billboard next to McDonald's. Victory Outreach Manchester Church. Before she left, it said Super Sunday. And the Super Sunday dates had finished. And she could have just left it there. And like sometimes we do that, don't we? We just leave things. God gives us tasks. And sometimes the tasks maybe get too hard and we just leave them. We just drop them. We just put it down. We just try and pass it on to someone else. We try and say to someone else, I think you would be better at this. I think you should do this. But all the time God is saying to you, I called you to do this. I called you to be here. I called you to step out here. I called you to surrender in this certain area in your life. I called you to give up those little things. I called you to get rid of those little foxes that spoil the vine. I called you to stop being distracted. I called you to start, you know what, start being involved. I read a thing, funny enough, it was on Facebook. Shoot myself. It says, some people are more interested in the applause than the cause. Some people are more interested in the applause instead of the cause. But I was brought up in the ministry. It doesn't matter who gets the glory as long as God gets the credit. You might be involved in something. God might use you in a certain area, but God's going to bless it. We need to be persistent. I'll give a plug for Wednesday night prayer. If you're free on a Wednesday night, come to prayer. Something special happens at prayer here on a Wednesday night. It's like a church service. You probably get the same amount of people. It's like a church service. The presence of God. And last Wednesday, we heard Sister Bridget talking about her brother that she had been praying for. Talking about her brother that she'd been praying for, and she'd never gave up praying for him. And I remember many a times that we prayed for the brother at the life group. I mean, many a times we prayed and we believed and we believed and we stood in the ground. We stood together and we believed that God can do it. And just on Wednesday, she came up here and testified that he's now in the men's home, that he's doing amazing, that he's filled with the Spirit. And on Wednesday night, he done his first 5-minute fire at church. Thank God for a praying sister. Thank God for a praying mother. See, thank God for a praying grandma. And thank God for a person that never stops praying and never stops believing and keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. We pray to the end. And if the keyboard makes his way up, wherever he is, unless I do it. We need to keep praying to the end because we don't give in if you ain't got it. But sometimes when we don't get it, the first thing we do is moan and complain. When we don't get it, we start moaning and complaining that God has let you down. That God has let you down. You've been praying and you're believing for that situation. You've been persistent lately, but you've stopped. Lately, you've gave up being persistent because, to be quite honest, you're fed up seeing other people's prayers getting answered. And you ask yourself every morning, God, why you no answer my prayer? Why you no answer my prayer? He's getting blessed. She's getting blessed. They're getting blessed. What about me, Lord? What about me, Lord? What about me? And that might be you this morning. You might be in that place and saying, what about me, Lord? I've been praying and I don't see nothing changing yet. I've been asking, but I don't have the answer yet. I've been trying my hardest, but I don't seem to be breaking through yet. And I believe today that the Lord is saying, you know what? Let us not get tired and weary of doing good. For in due season, we shall reap a harvest if we don't give up. There's something special when a brother or a sister doesn't give up. There's something special when a married couple doesn't give up. There's something special when someone doesn't give up. And I thank God for people in my life when they never gave up on me. When everyone else did. Everyone else gave up on me. My family, the prisons, the social workers, everybody gave up on me. But Jesus said, I'll never give up on you. And today, you know what? I really, really sense the presence of God in this place. So where are you at today? Where are you at? Where are you at? Where's your heart at? Are you ready to cut out? Are you ready to walk away? Are you ready to throw in the towel? Have you been discouraged? Or do you just need to, that prayer just to keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going? As we stand to our feet, if the worship team make their way up. See, the message was simple. We serve a God that keeps things simple. It's us that confuse things. It's us that make things bigger than they usually are. God is a simple God. And today He's saying to you, today is the day. Today is the day, but just like anything else, it takes a response. It takes a response. There's something special about responding. Because at the end of the day, you're not responding to me. You're not responding to Victory Outreach. You're responding to Jesus. And if He's spoke to you, if He's touched your heart, or He's highlighted any area in your life, I want to invite you to come at the front as a worship team. Just lead us in worship. You may have been discouraged. Come and allow the Lord to encourage you. You may have been asking. Today might be the day that He gives you the answer. But you have to play your part. You have to respond. You have to respond and say, Lord, I need help in this situation. Then allow Him to speak to you.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.